Thank you so much, choir. Our scripture this morning is Revelation 14, 13. Now, John, the beloved disciple, is writing during a time of great persecution. And as a result, some were falling away from the faith, turning their backs on the Lord. And so John, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, writes to encourage believers everywhere to patiently endure, to remain faithful to Christ. And in verse 13, he tells them, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.'" Yes, says the Spirit. "They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." As some of you know, I had a birthday recently. January 29th, to be exact. What a bummer. I kept thinking to myself, it's not possible. It's just not possible. I can't be 39 years old already. Where did the time go? I received a lot of cards for my birthday. Positive and encouraging cards, except one. This came from one of my sons. Can you see it? It says, "Happy 100th birthday." He's been banned from any further birthday gatherings at my house. In any event, I've noticed that as the years add up, one begins to think about the end of life. And I don't mean a morbid preoccupation with death, but rather one begins to reflect, to wonder, to question. Have I lived my life to some good purpose? Have I made good use of the time that God in His wisdom has given to me? How will I be remembered? What will I leave behind? What impact have I had on the lives of others? Some call that a legacy. For a legacy is not just the money or possessions you bequeath to your loved ones. More importantly, a legacy is how you have lived your life, who you are, the qualities that made you the kind of person you were, your example, your influence. Whether or not you left this world a little better for having passed this way, that will be your legacy. I'll come back to this shortly. Now, John tells us in Revelation that the day our lives end here on earth is a blessed day. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. From now on is one word in the Greek. It means from this time, henceforth, most assuredly. Not so blessed are those who die without Christ. For John tells us in verse 11 that the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night. But those who die in the Lord, those who know Christ, will be blessed. And what does it mean to be blessed? It means change, transformation. It means heaven. It means glory. I think about those words that Paul wrote to the Corinthians when he said, "For we know that when this tent we live in now is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have wonderful new bodies in heaven, homes that will be ours forever, made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. How weary we grow of our present bodies. That is why we look forward eagerly to the day when we shall have heavenly bodies, which we shall put on like new clothes. Now we look forward, says Paul, with confidence to our heavenly bodies, realizing that every moment we spend in these earthly bodies is time spent away from our eternal home in heaven with Jesus. We know these things are true by believing, not by seeing. And we are not afraid, but are quite content to die. For then we will be at home with the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Every person who has invited Jesus into their hearts as Savior and Lord is assured that he or she will live eternally in heaven. Make no mistake about it. What you do with Jesus Christ here and now in this life determines where you will spend eternity. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. They will rest from their labor. The word labor is kapto. It can mean trouble or struggles. Travail, hard toil. It can mean to be weary to the point of exhaustion. It can also mean to beat oneself with mourning, to lament, to bewail. It is a word, I think, that recognizes that life can be hard. Life can hurt us deeply at times. I think about those words Eric Clapton wrote about the pain and loss he felt following the death of his 4-year-old son, Connor. He wrote, "Time can bring you down. Time can bend your knees. Time can break your heart. Have you begging, please, begging, please?" Yes, it can. Life can do that. Life can break your heart. Life can have you begging, please. But someday, John tells us, we will lay all of that down. Every struggle, every infirmity, every heartbreak. We'll lay it down and rest. Now the word rest here means not only a state of rest, but a place of rest, a dwelling, an abode. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many resting places." The Apostle Paul told us about that place, saying, We know that the same God who brought the Lord Jesus back from death will also bring us back to life again with Jesus and present us to Him along with you. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. These troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys of heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. And John, the beloved disciple, described it, saying, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Only only glory by and by. Every heartache gone forever. Only glory by and by. Just one question. What about the interim between now and that place and that state of rest? What can we do when life hurts us now? To whom can we go? Jesus says, you can come to me. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. There's a young couple that comes into the gym that I go to, and I guess they're in their early 40s. They have two teenage sons. Several years ago, the mother was driving their 9-year-old daughter somewhere and without looking, pulled in front of another car, and they were hit. And the daughter died. And if you were to ask them, how in the world can you deal with that? How can you make it through such a tragedy? They would not hesitate in telling you it's the Lord, that they have found their rest in Him, His love and companionship, their faith and hope in Him. It's still bringing them through. I think about the words of that song that says, I've had many tears and sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that the trials have come to make me strong. I've been a lot of places and I've seen a lot of faces, but there have been times I've felt so all alone. And in that lonely hour, in that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was His own. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on His Word. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. The word for deeds is erga, and it means deed, work, action, performance, practice. It can also mean the product of one's action, even to exert one's power, one's influence. Now you have heard it said that when we die, we do not take anything with us into the next life. But this text tells us that's not true. We take our deeds. We take our works into the very presence of God. We do not go empty-handed from this world into the next. Our works, our deeds go with us. Our patient endurance, our obedience, our faithfulness, the life we have lived in the Lord will follow us and bear witness before the throne. Now there's a paradox here. Listen. There's a paradox here. What we take with us, we will also leave behind in the hearts and memory and lives of others. And what you leave behind will be your legacy. You remember what I said earlier? A legacy is not just the money or possessions you bequeath to others. More importantly, a legacy is how you lived. The qualities that made you, the kind of person you were, your example, your influence, whether or not this world was left a little better because you have passed this way. Have you ever thought about what your legacy will be? How will you be remembered? What will you leave behind? What impact will you have had on the lives of others as a follower of Christ? Karen Barber writes about a trip she took to the Holy Land. As usual, it was a time of turmoil in the Middle East. She said, "We had taken a day's drive to pray along the northern border of Israel. Now we were in Jerusalem in awe of the complex intertwining of diverse people, history, and religions. Although I signed up for this prayer mission trip, I was feeling inadequate about praying for such insurmountable problems. A friend had arranged for us to meet a priest named Father John, director of the Notre Dame Center that runs an enormous landmark hotel for pilgrims and a center for healing. Father John was obviously important, yet when we met him, he acted as if he had all the time in the world. Father John told them, when I was chosen by my order to be in charge of the center, occupancy was at an extremely low rate and it was in financial crisis. I never stayed at a hotel before, much less knew how to manage one. God, I said, there must be some mistake, and I prayed, but God assured me that he would help me in the task. Then one member of the group asked him, Father John, is there something specific we can pray for you? And he smiled and said, yes, that I would have love in all I do. And Karen said, in that moment, God had given me two perfect answers to my feeling of inadequacy about my ability to pray for gigantic problems. I could be assured that God would help me in the task, and if I prayed just for love, all of the seemingly unsolvable problems would be covered. And I thought when I read that, what a legacy that would be. That we would have love in all that we do. Indeed, the Apostle Paul said that a legacy of love was the greatest of all, and that it would outlast anything else we would leave behind. Love, said Paul, it bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It never fails. Mark White is the pastor of First Baptist Church in Clayton. A few years ago, he wrote an article in the church newsletter about leaving a legacy. Here's part of what he wrote. Someone has well said, your reputation is written on your tombstone. Your character is your legacy. So I must ask, what will our legacy be? Everyone leaves a legacy. Some leave large or small sums of money. Others are remembered for their vices or even for evils they have committed. Thankfully, most Christians will leave an honorable legacy. We may never be remembered for having our name on a building or leaving large sums of money, but we will be remembered for our acts of love, our life of faith, and whether or not we lived sacrificially, pointing others in the right direction. When a godly man died, his daughter said, "This world just lost a righteous man. And in this age, this is no small thing." When the famous German artist Gustave Doré was crossing the border into another European country, he had forgotten his passport He gave the custom official his name, but of course they had to verify who he was, so they handed him a piece of paper and pencil and said, if you're Auguste Doré, sketch your surroundings. He did so quickly and accurately. He had convincingly verified who he was. If we claim to be Christians, said Mark White, we should leave a portrait behind that reveals our identity. It is right and proper that people should expect us to live differently, to reflect a life of faith and confidence in God. A seminary professor once said, the world can outnumber us, they can out-entertain us, and they can out-finance us, but let it never be said they can out-love us. Indeed, let it be said, he or she loved well and lived for Jesus Christ. That is a legacy. Randall Lally was president of Southeastern Seminary when I was in the doctoral program there. And a number of years ago, in January 2007, he was serving as the interim pastor at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Raleigh. And he wrote this article for the church newsletter, and I'm going to close with this. But here's what he wrote. My younger brother Tom died 3 years ago after suffering a stroke and losing both legs. His wife Sydney died just before Christmas following a 10-year bout with Parkinson's disease. Both these deaths have caused me to ponder more than the usual the rhythm between quantity, the length, and quality, the meaning of life. Tom was 6 years younger than I am. I have already had 2,460 more days of life than he had. Yet something inside advises that he has lived as well, if not better, than I have. Consider this. The world has recently lost two remarkable children. Remember Matty Stepanek? He was a 13-year-old poet and peacemaker who died last June from the neuromuscular disease, mitochondrial myopathy. Matty wrote and published 5 books of poetry, which he called Heart Songs. Former President Jimmy Carter called this amazing youngster one of the very best peacemakers I have ever known. The two of them were working on a book together when Matty died. Remember Alex Scott? She lived only 8 years, but she did a lifetime of good. Her nationally acclaimed lemonade stands raised over $1 million for pediatric cancer research. Diagnosed at age 1 with aggressive cancer, she died last August peacefully at her home, holding her parents' hands. Alex Lemonade Stands began 5 years ago in Connecticut. She told her mother she wanted to sell lemonade and give the money for cancer research at the hospital where she was being treated. She did the same thing after the family moved to Philadelphia, so Alex could be treated at Children's Hospital. Over the past 60 months, Alex Lemonade Stands have sprung up like mushrooms in all 50 states as well as in Canada and France. Most of them have been run by children, simply selling lemonade on a sidewalk near their homes. On the day that Alex died, Children's Hospital, the recipient of much of the money the stands have raised, held an Alex Lemonade Stand of its own, raising thousands of dollars more for pediatric cancer research. And Randall Lally concluded by saying, my brother Tom, sister Sydney, Maddie, Alex, and countless others have taught us that it is not the length of our days which matter most. It is what we do, how we live, each and every unspoiled day God gives us in this life that measures its worth and its meaning. Pray for me as I will pray for you, that we might have love in all that we do. That would be a legacy indeed. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 285, Wherever He Leads. I invite you to come this morning, to come and receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, to do that publicly, to come and unite with this church by letter, by statement, by baptism, to recommit your life to Him as we stand and as we sing, You Come.